for February 04. We are closing down our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. Going to move into Job, but no real hurry because I want to be sure we get these things done. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Remember to be in prayer for Estelle. Be in prayer for us finding a place, either land and property or whatever God has planned for us. It's just amazing. 1/12 of this month's already over. So we got less than 11 months. And be in prayer about that. So let's be in prayer about tonight, seeing what God wants us to see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. Last night we assembled here and we saw what you did in the creation of the world, the restoration of the world, the flood, control of the upper deep and the lower deep, all the things that you do, Heavenly Father, and yet you are God who cares about each one of us individually. And you provided us with the power of your Spirit to understand the Scriptures, to learn these things and have them become part of our life. You treat us in grace, not in law. We praise you, Heavenly Father, and now we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things we'll look at tonight, especially those people, Heavenly Father, who get these tapes or get on the Internet, who experience the suffering of stress, anxiety, and depression, which so many Christians do. Pray that these things that we're seeing will enlighten them and relieve them of the pressure, the stress, and depression. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week we looked at the 31st thing, and I just want to refresh you a couple of things because it was a very important class for those of you that do suffer stress, anxiety, and depression, and that dealt with the basic instincts, because one of the primary reasons that we experience stress, anxiety, and depression is a basic instinct of man. The basic instinct of man is to perform and to be recognized for what you do. And we took up a number of passages that reveal this. Romans chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, Isaiah 28, Ephesians chapter 2. We studied a lot of verses that dealt with the basic instincts of man and the basic desires of man and the deepest lust of man, and we study this in our passage, the deepest craving of man is to be recognized for what you do. And when you're not recognized for what you do, to the point that you think maybe you should, that's when a lot of people experience stress, depression, anger, all kinds of things happen. I'm not appreciated. These kinds of things. This all is part of the basic instinct. So the more that you realize what the basic instincts are, and the more you realize that walking in the Spirit is the only way you're going to come out of all of that, because the basic instinct keeps you in the cosmic system, Satan's lie, performance trap, and the law. Do and do, do and do. And if you walk in the Spirit, it's total freedom, grace, walking by faith. Okay, now we moved from that, and we studied, as I said, we studied a great number of passages in dealing with that study, and I just want to keep that tape out and remember it. But let's go to number 32 now. We're almost through with these, but let's go to number 32 tonight. In Jesus Christ, remember what we're doing is we're looking at all the things you have. People, you can sit and be depressed and upset about your life, what happened to you in the past, that you were raped as a child, molested as a child, neglected as a child, beaten as a child, abused as a child, things happened to you in life, in marriage, so many different things, and you can sit and meditate on those things. Or you can look who you are in Christ. You can live the way you think of yourself in regard to life, or you can live according to who you are in Christ. It's up to you. Do you want to see who you are as far as the world is concerned? And even maybe how your other people see you, or do you want to live according to how God sees you? Who are you going to believe? What Satan says about you, or what God says about you? Now, the 32nd thing we want to look at here is, in Jesus Christ, you possess every spiritual blessing. Now, Think about the words I just used. Every spiritual blessing you already possess. I want to make it very clear from the beginning. You do not earn these. You do not lose these. You do not earn these by your performance. Well, if I'm real good, I'll get these blessings. Nor do you lose them if you fail in life. Well, I've done some really bad things, so I've lost them. You cannot earn these. You cannot lose these. And don't let anybody tell you you can. You can't. Look with me, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 1. Those of you listening, take time, open your Bibles, get involved in the text, get involved in understanding doctrine, get involved letting the Spirit open your eyes as to the truth of Scripture. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 1. Ephesians 1, 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Not by his will, but by the will of God. And the same thing is true of us. To the saints, that's you and I, believers, who are at Ephesus, it's believers of the church of Ephesus, but it has the universal writing to all believers throughout the church age. And that takes us up in the next phrase, and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Him, just as He, God, has chosen us in Him, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, blameless before Him. Now, a lot of problems. We can make a lot of law out of these verses unless you see the truth of what's going on. So let's take a look now. Who, verse 3, who has blessed the believer. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, believers, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, let's start off with a very important principle. And this is especially true if you experience some disappointment with your life, disappointment with your marriage, disappointment in where you are in life or what's happening to you in life. This is very important about your life. Spiritual blessings are far superior to material blessings. One of the reasons a lot of Christians suffer stress and depression is you're not satisfied with the spiritual blessings. You're not content. More important to you are material blessings. And that's why I taught some time ago on the mindset, your mindset, AM or FM. AM is endemic nature, FM is a faith mindset. The endemic mindset, faith mindset, AM, FM. You have to decide for yourself, are the spiritual blessings enough? Or do you want to say, yes, they're okay, but I want the material. You might be more honest in saying, no, I want the material. But let me give you the principle. Spiritual blessings are far superior to material blessings. It is amazing how many Christians seek material blessings. And let me add to that, there are a lot of Christians who even evaluate God's love for them on the basis of material blessings. If I have them, God blesses me. If I don't have them, God is angry with me. And we're going to study that kind of thinking in Job. But that's the way a lot of Christians think about themselves and about others. Oh, well, you've lost your material blessings or you've never had them. God's angry with you. God is not pleased. Oh, this person has a lot of things. God is pleased with them. And I'm here to tell you, you're totally wrong. Your whole scale, your whole view of God is in error. But it's amazing how many Christians evaluate the love of God for them based on material blessings. If they do not have them, then God does not love them. And they're not worthy. as they gain material things, they conclude that God is now favorable to them. God loves them. They're doing it right. Start losing things. Oh, what am I doing wrong? Woe is me. I'm a horrible person. All this kind of thing. People don't do that. We're going to study this very strongly in the study of Job. In truth, material blessings are not the blessings from God you should seek or desire. The material blessings. This is very hard, but I'm here to tell you, those of you that are suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, one of the primary reasons is because you're thinking in the realm of material blessings. You want to come out of that? It's up to you. You can go to doctors, pay hundreds of dollars a week. You can go to drugs, alcohol, medicines, all this kind of thing. Or you can just start living who you are in Christ and being content and pleased with the material, with the spiritual blessings, not the material, but with the spiritual blessings that God gives. And unfortunately, especially today, few Christians are satisfied with spiritual blessings. And that's why the church is filled with people who are miserable as Christians in their soul if they don't have the material things. Some people have the material things and are still miserable. It's not in the material blessings, it's in the spiritual. Now, note here, God hath blessed you. People, this is already done. He has already blessed you with the spiritual blessings. You do not earn them. You do not deserve these spiritual blessings. You did not receive them by your performance or lack of it. And write this down, those of you that hurt. You cannot lose them. You never get to the point where you're so unworthy that God is going to take away your spiritual blessings. Well, I'm such a sinner. I'm such a loser. And preachers call people losers. People, Christians, call other Christians losers. People, you cannot lose this. Don't let them do that. Don't listen to that. What you want to listen to is what God says. You cannot lose the spiritual blessings by your sins and failures or things that happen to you. Nor do you look forward. Listen now. Nor do you look forward to receiving them. Well, if I get my life straightened out, and then I'll start receiving these spiritual blessings from God. Don't do that. Don't do that to God. I've got to straighten out my life, then God will give me these blessings. No, sir. It doesn't work that way. You already possess them. You just want to start living by faith in the power of the Spirit, and you will start realizing them. So you do not even look forward to receiving them. They're already yours. Claim them. How do you claim them? Starting right now, you start living by faith in the Spirit to guide, to teach, to lead you into the Scriptures, lead you in life, lead you in wisdom. So God hath blessed you. Now note the sphere that He has blessed in. Why? In Christ. Now that's our whole study. We started off on New Year's Eve. I don't know how many New Year's Eve ago, and I don't want to know. Somebody will tell me. But it's living who you are in Christ or living who you are in the flesh. In Christ, you have received these heavenly blessings. So look what it says. In Christ. Here it is, people, the place and the reason for all you have been given in these spiritual blessings. Because of your position in Christ. Again, and I keep emphasizing this because I'm kind of really thinking about those of you that are listening that hurt. And I want you to understand something. You have them because of who and what Christ is and because of your position in Christ, not because you earn or deserve them or have performed or have been good or have obeyed and not done this and not done that. No, it's because of your position in Christ. If you don't see that here, you really miss out on living the Christian life. Not because of your performance. Not gain them, you cannot lose them by sin or failure. Because unfortunate things have happened to you in your life. It's very simple. Because you are in union with Christ. No more stress, anxiety, and depression. Okay, the next phrase. These blessings are called spiritual. Okay. One, to get your mindset off of the material. Spiritual material. They're called spiritual to get your thinking off of the material. Stress, anxiety, and depression, or SAD, due to material thinking in a material world. So the first reason they're called spiritual blessings, get your mind off of the material on the spiritual. Secondly, the source of all these blessings is from God. Actually, God the Holy Spirit, therefore spiritual. These are given to us by the Holy Spirit, directed by God the Father, because of our position in Christ. They are activated in your life, people, by walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. That's why they're called spiritual. The Holy Spirit gives them to you. The Holy Spirit activates them in your life when you walk by faith in the Spirit. They're yours, but you want to walk by faith in the Spirit to activate them. Now we have another phrase, in the heavenlies. What in the world does that mean? I'm not in the heavenlies. I'm here on earth. Now, in Christ is in opposition, not opposition, but apposition, not OPP, because that'd be opposing, but in apple meaning corresponding with, to in the heavenlies. Christ in the heavenlies. What is going on here? This is where Christ physically is. Jesus Christ is seated in the heavenlies. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Therefore, people, because you are in Christ, this is your position or citizenship. Jesus Christ came, died, rose again, ascended to heaven, where he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And since we are in union with Jesus Christ, by faith in Christ, we actually dwell, as it were, in the heavenlies. How can I teach that? I've done this before, I think, even in this series. I've done it in some other series, but I think I've done it here. One of the best examples I can give you here is when I was in the military. I was stationed in Germany, not in America. I was stationed in Germany. But I functioned and lived as though I were and from America. All my life in that time frame was because of that. I wasn't oriented to the details of life. It did not disappoint me. It did not hurt me. I did not look down on myself. I'm not saying I liked it, but we just had this little bitty bed. I still never figured out how big guys slept in those little beds, those little single beds. What you talk about, you can get these mattresses 4 or 5 inches thick on another mattress. Well, you get an army bed and you got about a 2-inch mattress on spring, a piece of wire. Never bothered me. I didn't get to have my leopard colored bedspread either. It was a beautiful army green. I didn't get to have all kinds of different designer clothes in my locker. It was all army green, except some brown in there. Didn't get to get leather boots or leather shoes. They were army-issued boots and shoes. Never bothered me. Why? Because I'd walk out on the streets in Germany, and it didn't bother me I didn't have a car. It didn't bother me that I didn't have this and didn't have that. People, I wasn't from Germany. I lived in Germany. Almost 2 years I lived in Germany. 2 years of my life. But it never bothered me because I was living in reference to who I am and what I was doing in regard to America. Now, that's what you and I have to do spiritually. Yes, we're here on earth. And yes, we're in this physical body. But we are positionally, and we actually are living because of our position in the heavenlies at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ. That's how you and I live. And you've got to get your mindset that way. People, let me go back. I knew soldiers that would come and go. I worked on a general staff. Come and go in different problems. Just couldn't handle it. They hated being over there. They could not adjust to being over there. They got themselves in a great deal of trouble. They were always depressed, always this, always that. Or you can just say, okay, I'm here. This is where I am. And things are not going to be necessarily the way I might like them, but this is not where I'm from. I'm from America, and I'm going to go back there. People, you are from the heavens, and I'm going to tell you something. You and I are going back there. You're born from above. You're going to go back there when you and I die, if the rapture doesn't occur first. I'm going to go there. So we live in that mindset. But, dear people, if you live on a mindset, I'm here on earth, I don't have what I want, things aren't working out well, I don't look like I want to look, I don't earn what I want to earn, this isn't happening, that isn't happening, my dreams aren't fulfilled, this isn't, and on and on and on, I tell you right now, you're going to continue with stress, anxiety, and depression. Drugs, the bottle, doctorate-issued drugs, all this kind of things, and you're never going to enjoy your life here. I had a ball in Germany. Didn't have much money, didn't bother me. And I didn't have all those things we went through, and I had living in there, never bothered me. But you can sit there and meditate and get your mindset, boy, I'm not at home, and mama isn't cooking for me, and I don't have this, and I don't have the car I want, and I don't have that, and I just don't like it over here, and I don't like this, and I don't, and be miserable your whole time. It's in the mindset. You can say, I'm here. I'm not from here. People, what happened in Germany, we're in election year, politics and everything, and I never lost any sleep at who won elections in Germany, in the area I was, in Frankfurt or in Hanau. Never got upset. I didn't even get upset who didn't win the football. Not our kind of football, but their kind of football. Didn't get all upset about that. I wasn't from there. I wasn't from there. I enjoyed things. The food, the fun, entertainment, life things, but I wasn't from there. Get your mind on where you're from. You're from above. By your second birth, you were born from above. That's where you are. You're in the heavenlies. That's where your blessings are, spiritually, in the heavens. This is who you are in Christ, in the heavenlies. And being with Him in the heavenlies means that we are right where all the action is, people. Let me tell you something. The action is not here on earth. The action is not here on earth. The action is in the heavenlies. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, let me just take you to the book of Ephesians. I won't go outside of the book of Ephesians just to show you where the real action is as far as life is concerned if you get your head on straight. Let's start off. First of all, I'm going to give you five things here. So let's get them. Number one, spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. 1-3. Now, secondly, in the heavenlies, it is the sphere of Christ's power. It is the sphere of Christ's power. Let's look at 1:20-21. Let you write it down and we'll look. 1, verse 20 and 21. Now let's read it. 1, verses 20 and 21, which He brought down in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him, Jesus Christ, at His, God the Father's, right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one that is to come. People, that's where the power is. Let me see if I can relate that for you so it'll have a practical influence on your life. I was stationed in Germany. Germany wasn't where the real power was. Real power, as it were in the Pentagon. Washington. That's where the real power came. And that's where I lived. I was in Germany, but I didn't know where the real stuff was going on. Real stuff's going on where the power is. People, get your mindset to start live who you are in Christ while you live here on earth. Number three, it is the sphere, watch this one now, it is the sphere, it being the heavenly places, it is the sphere of the Christian life. It is the sphere of the Christian life, your life. Chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians 2:6. I'm just dealing with this phrase in Ephesians. Let's look at it. Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. People, that's where you are. That's how you and I want to live. It is a sphere of the Christian life. Okay, what do I mean by that? How can we be in heaven, in the heavenly places, and yet live here? And I call that the sphere of living. Let me tell you something. When I was on a pass, it was a weekend, or whatever, when I was in Germany, I lived in reference to who I was in America. I dressed a certain way because I was an American soldier. I acted a certain way. America was the sphere of my living. I lived in Germany. I lived in Germany, but it wasn't the sphere of my life, the way I lived. America was the sphere of the way I lived. Being in the United States Army was the sphere in which I lived, not in Germany. If I lived in Germany, I would have dressed differently. I would have worked, clothes, everything would have been so different. But I didn't. The sphere of my living was America, even though I was in Germany. The sphere of our living on earth is who we are in Christ in the heavenlies, not here on earth. Our marriage, our fun, where we live, where we worship, what we do, all these things in that sphere, not down here, but in the heavenlies. Let me give you the fourth one. It is the sphere of the spiritual warfare. It's the real sphere of the spiritual warfare. It's where the warfare is really taking place. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 10. You can let you write it down, then we'll look at it. Chapter 3, verse 10. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies. People, it's not about down here. It's about up there. We've seen this so many times. We're going to see it in the book of Job. Here's Job living his life down here. We're going to study the land where he was from. It's going to boggle your mind when we get to that. Just the first one. It's going to take me a while to get out of first one. And there's 42 chapters. But I'm telling people, don't get worried, because we can't study every chapter. We'll just get enough to get a feel of the whole book. But what I want to show you here is that things started happening in Job's life. People, please understand, they had absolutely nothing to do with down here. They had nothing to do with down here. And I'll show you that. They had to do what was going on in the heavenlies above. Satan and God were in a debate. They had a debate. And what were they debating over? This man. And things started happening in his life because of what was happening above. Paul tells us, we do not battle, we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. People, the battles, the real battles going on in the heavenlies, that's where you and I in this real battle is taking place. So it is the sphere of the spiritual warfare. One more reference in the book of Ephesians of this. It is the sphere of our own conflict. It is the sphere of our own conflict. The fourth one was the sphere of the spiritual warfare. It is the sphere of our spiritual warfare, our part in this. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Write it down, then we'll turn to it. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is against our husbands and our wives. No. Oh, our struggle is against our parents. Our struggle is against society. Our struggle is against school. Not what it says. We live here on earth, but look what it says. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, earth, material, but against the rulers and the powers of darkness. Against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces, watch now, of wickedness in the heavenlies. People, that's where our spiritual warfare comes. Oh, you're stressed, you're depressed, all these things that we could talk about, depression, that overcomes so many Christians, because you're trying to fight this battle here on earth. You're dealing with your husband, you're dealing with your wife, you judge, you malign, we're competing. Husbands and wives compete with each other. It's just a tragedy what we do. Christians judging one another, Christians devouring one another. All the things that are going on between Christians, and we think, oh, this is my whole, I've heard people say, my spiritual warfare is my husband or my wife just trying to keep myself in Christ and walking in the Spirit because of them. It's not your struggle. I'm sorry. I know you think it looks that way, just like Job did. Oh, it's these Red Raiders who came down and stole all of his property and killed his servants. No. Wasn't him. It's a spiritual warfare. Please look at the verse. This is the word of God, not my word. Our struggle. Day in and day out. In your marriage, in your single life, in your home. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not your husband, ladies. And it's not your wife. I know you're going to say, no, you don't know. You're not married to him. I'm telling you what the scriptures say. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not your parents. That's why Christians, I wish Christians would pay attention to the scriptures, encourage one another, restore one another, persevere with one another, put up with one another. All those things we studied in that series of study of one another. For we struggle not. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Look what your struggle is against. Invisible, spiritual, against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Now, think about it. Think about it. Don't you want to have equipment of battle that corresponds with the battle you're involved in? If you're going to go to some battlefields, some places, you want to have the best weapon you can have. Something like an M16 or something. Have they improved? Is there a new weapon out issued over an M16 now?
I just use a 9mm.
But let me ask you something. Let's say your battle is underneath the ocean. Well, that M16 isn't going to do you much good. There you want a submarine. You want to be issued what is going to be best for where you're in the battle. So what are we studying? You are issued heavenly supplies, heavenly spiritual blessings, because you're in a spiritual warfare. See how wonderful God is? See how smart God is? Okay, now we have the important question. Here's the important question. All right, we all want to know this. What are these blessings? What are they? I want to know. Boy, I want to know. Okay. They're not told here. For the eye that will see, it's there. But if you don't want to see it, you won't see it. I like this when it happens a lot in Scripture. God does this a lot in Scripture. In John 3, you must be born again. Doesn't tell you how. You ever notice that in that story of John? Doesn't tell you how? So, John's not a mechanic person anyway. So what are these blessings? Let's see if we can figure it out. Let me try to do it for you in 3 points. One, not 50 points, but 3. First of all, they are blessings. What does that mean? They are of benefit to your life. They are a benefit to your life. Let me give you an idea here about God. So often, and I'm going to pick on the man, if you don't mind. So often a man gives a woman a gift. Valentine's coming up. So often a man gives a woman a gift for Christmas, Valentine's, her birthday, or whatever. But you know what he has in mind? He has what will please him. He has what will please him to give her. I like to use the example sometime. Man just spends, just to make a point, spends $30,000, has a beautiful pool bill, and she doesn't appreciate it. And boy, I bought you this pool, I had these engineers come out, we did all this work, and they're just this and that, and you don't even appreciate it. No, I do not swim. My skin cannot take the sun. I never have lied in the sun. I don't like the pool. I don't do that. You did that for you. And you want me to be happy, and since I'm not, you're upset. You never have me in mind. And that's the way a lot of people give gifts. Now, what is a real gift? A gift is where you have the other person in mind, and you give them something that will be of what? Benefit, one way or the other. When we talk about gifts, it may just be something pleasurable or whatever. But you have a benefit for them in mind. I've thought about you in giving this gift. That's why sometimes Christmas is such a difficult time because, well, we want to give, but we just don't want to go in and grab something off the shelf. We want to have something about that person in mind that will bring something to them. So let me tell you what a blessing is from God. Blessing from God means a benefit to your life. When God gives a blessing, it's called a blessing because it will benefit your life. It's something that is important to you in your life that when God gives it. So the first and foremost thing I want you to know about these things, they are a benefit to your life. And your life is in this struggle in the spiritual warfare. Okay, point two. Second thing. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. Note the word every. Nothing lacking. You are lacking. Now people, you're not going to like this. But I'm here to tell you. You're lacking nothing to rid your life of stress, anxiety, and depression. You're lacking nothing. Oh, you don't make the money you want? You don't live in the house you want? You don't drive the car you want? I'm lacking. My children are lacking. My life's lacking. No. See, you're occupied with the material world. Look what it says. This is God's Word. Look at the Bible. Every spiritual blessing. Nothing is lacking. Let me give you the principle. God does not hold back any of these blessings. God does not hold back on any of these blessings like He's waiting on you to become worthy of them. You are worthy of every one of them at the moment of faith in Christ. They're yours. Point three. So point one, they are a benefit to your life. Point two, nothing lacking. You're given of everything you need. Point three, they are spiritual. Don't look for them in the material world. They are spiritual. And this is most important. They're related to your spiritual life. The most important part of your life, where you really live. Get in trouble when you try to bring something so wonderful and something so tremendous as well, this concept down into the, but in the military, I was in Germany, or going to battle somewhere, nothing's lacking. You are given proper clothing. You are issued proper weaponry. You are issued proper food. The United States soldier is fed, no matter if he may complain, he is taken care of just in an unbelievable fashion. Just using those kind of concepts, you are given everything you need for where you are. In Germany, we were issued gear for very cold weather. I don't like cold weather. And I'll never forget, I drove for a general for a while, and he came out one day, it was cold, freezing, and I had big old, my Arctic gloves on that they had issued. And I'll never forget him in his kind way. He goes, Maddox, I don't think it's quite that cold. I knew what that meant, so I immediately took them off and just had my regular gloves on, and that was it. But the point is, issued. Everything necessary. Nothing lacking. Well, we're going in this freezing cold, and we lack the proper wearing gear. Nope. You have everything. There's nothing lacking, and it's spiritual. In other words, this is the word you're going to live. So God has blessed you with every spiritual need you have in this life. I want to repeat that, and I hope you'll get that into your mindset. God has blessed you with every spiritual need you have in this life. Did I say with every physical need? No. Did I say with every material need? No. I said every spiritual. A lot of people have problems with some of these things. God promised this and God. People, God never promised you you'd have a certain lifestyle. You won't find that in the Bible. God never promised you wouldn't this happen and that happen. You'll have every spiritual need you have desired of. Okay. One, they're a benefit. They're called a blessing, benefit for your life. Two, nothing lacking. Every spiritual blessing. Three, they're spiritual. Okay, can we look at something of what these spiritual blessings you have been blessed with? I think we can. Look with me, if you will, at Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, which to me is a very important passage in the Bible. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Now, I like the New American Standard because you usually don't have to do much work with the New American Standard, but here we're going to have to do just a little bit of work. From the Greek, to get a correct understanding. But I want you to appreciate what's happening here. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 5. Now, if we want to warm up to that and get to verse 5. Verse 1, you foolish Galatians. The word foolish here, the Greek word, means non-thinking. He's not calling them stupid. And all this kind of things. The Greek word means non-thinking. You're not thinking this clearly. You're not thinking through this clearly. See, because they're trying to now live by works. They want to live by the law. When somebody wants to live by the law, you're foolish. What does that mean? You're not thinking. I wish they had translated it, you non-thinking Galatians. Who has charmed you? It says bewitched, but the Greek word is charmed you, and that's what Satan does. Here's that mythical who. It's Satan all the way through Scripture, the false teachers, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Then he says, okay, you're not thinking, so I'm going to help you think. Paul does a lot of teaching by questions. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. You think this through now. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works according to the law? Or by the hearing received with faith. I was saved by faith. You were. Did you receive the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Spirit by faith? Yeah. Okay, verse 3. Are you so non-thinking then? Can't you figure this out? Is this such advanced geometry you can't figure it out? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected? Living the Christian life by the flesh. Can you think your way through? Well, he gave me the Spirit to live in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Now, verse 4, I'm just going to give you a quick, you'll have to take my word, because I'm not going to get into the Greek with you tonight, but it says, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? That's not the correct translation. The Greek word translated here, suffer, is translated suffering. If you looked it up in the lexicons, the word means to experience. But it's translated suffering because it is used in the reference to the experiences of Christ as he went to the cross. Therefore, it became translated suffering. But if you go to your dictionary, your Greek lexicons, or the Greek dictionary, it means, did you experience so many things? Now, that's the spiritual blessings. Now, in vain, if indeed it was in vain. Now, what does that mean? Did you experience the indwelling of the Spirit? All these 32 things that we're studying here, All the grace things that God has provided in the heavenlies, all these spiritual blessings, in vain. What does in vain mean? And you're not going to use them? You're going to sit there and be depressed with your stress and your depression and your anxieties and your fears and your worries and your angers and your hates? That's when you're, if you have been given these things in vain, when you're not even going to pay any attention to them. Very quickly, it's like if I told you, why are you living like you're poor and worried about paying a monthly bill when sitting down in your bank account is $50 million? Now, you don't have $50 million in your account, so don't go running. I'm using that example. But let's say you had $50 million in your bank account, and there you are counting your pennies, running on a budget, trying to figure it all out, how you're going to pay your bills, then the $50 million is what? It's in vain. You're not even taking advantage of it. So he's given you these spiritual blessings. Is it going to be in vain? Are you going to live there? Now you follow with that correct understanding to verse 5. Does he, God the Father, does he then, God the Father, who provides, the Greek word means graciously supply. It's our same concept we have. You have been given what? Heavenly, all these spiritual blessings. Who supplies you? It's a parallel with Ephesians, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Instead of the word blessed, here we have who graciously supplies. Same concept. Who supplies or provides you, the believer. Now we have the ideal of the spiritual blessings. With the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and works miracles among you. Well, the Greek actually says the word works is a participle and it should be translated even working instead of works, working. And instead of miracles, the Greek word is dunamis, which is power, working powerfully, not among you. The Greek preposition is in you. So our passage then reads, does he then, God the Father, who provides you, graciously supplies you, that's every blessing, with the Spirit, even working powerfully in you, do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? So at the center of the spiritual blessings which he has blessed us people is our immediate relationship with the third member of the Godhead, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Grace in receiving it, and a grace way of tapping into his work by faith. You trust the Holy Spirit, you trusted Jesus Christ, you benefited his works. You trust the Spirit day in and day out of your life, you receive his fruit, his works. So, what are some of these spiritual blessings? One, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Two, the grace way to tap into his work by faith. Not by our performance, by faith. Just because of your position in Christ, you trust his Spirit. Three, the 32 things which we have noted so far in this study. We're not through. The 32 things that we've noted in this study with more yet to come. And then four, all the work of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Those are the opposites of fear, anger, stress, anxiety, depression, love, joy, peace. They're yours. Given to you, if you'll take them. Gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, teaching of the Holy Spirit, leading of the Spirit. He leads you. He leads you through life if you let him. These are the spiritual blessings that we have been freely given. Okay, that sets us up with the next one. And with this one, we'll start next week and get the number 33. And we're almost through. Get number 33 down next week. And I hope you'll take your time on this tape, those of you that do hurt and suffer. Understand, it's up to you. You're living in Germany, but you're from America. Is your mind going to be, is your mindset going to be you're upset and you don't like it? Or is your mindset going to be, I'm going to live in Germany as though I am from America and be content? You are physically here on earth in the flesh, but you are positionally in the spiritual heavenlies. You're in a spiritual warfare. Your battle, your peace, your power, all these things are in the spiritual realm. People experience stress, anxiety, and depression because they're living out of who and what they are. They're living in this material world, which is not your realm of existence. Your citizenship is not here. Your citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship was not in Germany. It was in America. And I can get all upset trying to live that way in Germany. Our citizenship is not here. It's in heaven. Therefore, we live accordingly. And we don't get upset and depressed with the things here on earth. It's a short journey, people. Let me rephrase that, military. It's a short tour. Oh, it may be 60, 70, 80, 90 years, but that's a short tour. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't be depressed and sad. Even over failures and sins, things that happen, get back into who you are in Christ. Watch what He'll do. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, what an awesome God You are that You have taken care of all of our needs. Every spiritual blessing. You hold back nothing. So, Father, we pray now that I pray that those that hurt will get these lessons and start living who they are in Christ, being content who they are in Christ, enjoying who they are in Christ. To this end, Father, do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.